to see each one here this evening. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with us, we're going to turn back to the book of Romans chapter 1. Again, studying on sin and digging into it, we're going to look at a word tonight that I pray could be a blessing. And of course, as always, try to dig into what these words mean and then use some scriptural examples of how people have been this way or used these sins. And we certainly don't want to be guilty of these things in our life. When we see sin, we want to repent of it. And I pray that we could be a blessing by the help of the Lord, by His grace. We're going to begin, as we said, in Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to You this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that You've done for us. Father, You've been good to us so much better than we deserve. And Father, we know with the message tonight, we can't deliver it in and of ourselves and be effective. Father, we pray that You would lead, guide, and direct by Your Holy Spirit, that, Father, Your Word could be presented in a way that bring honor and glory to Your name, that those that are lost could see their need of Jesus, that those of us that are saved, that we could see our need to walk with You. And, Father, help us to recognize sin, help us to eschew evil, to desire to walk away from sin and desire to walk in newness of life as You've called us to as Your people. And Father, for the good that is accomplished, let us step aside and give You the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Excuse me. Romans 1, verse 29 says, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignancy, whispers. And we're going to look at the word malignity or malignant. Well, what does that mean? You know, a lot of times we read over words and that we just say, well, that means sinful. But this word actually means of bad character. And there's some people today that says, oh, you know, people don't just have bad character. There's just some that have some bad ways about them or all this. No, the Bible says very plainly, there's people with bad character. And not only is it bad character, but it's a depravity of heart. You're depraved in the very essence of your being, in your heart. And some people, I don't know the reasons, but it seems like there's some you come across that was almost like they came into the world mad. Or they came into the world looking to do evil. And looks, we can say that, and sometimes we say, well, they were just born that way. No, I'll say this. I was a mischievous child. I would find out ways to get away with things when I was very little. And I was always looking for something to get into. But, you know, God, and I will say this, some good parenting helped a lot. And it can make a difference. Now, sadly, there's some people that will let a bad child just continue to be bad and they never correct it. And, yeah, that child's going to grow up probably to be pretty evil because it never had any correction, never had any direction in life. And certainly without the Lord, they're going to be in a bad place. But I will say this, the worst sinner can repent and be saved. And I believe God can change the vilest of sinners, the wickedest of people. I believe a lot of times the good parenting that God teaches, you know, even, you know, not sparing the rod, and, you know, taking care of a child and getting him B times is what's worded in one place in the Scripture. And B times means often and early. Yeah, I'll say this. I had one cousin of mine that he got so many spankings, I felt sorry for him. And I mean, he forevermore had to get spanked growing up. And you were like, my goodness. You know, in the schoolhouse, you know, they'd call the parents and say, well, y'all need to put him on Ritalin. Y'all need to put him on something else. And it wasn't that he was just a mean child or something. He was kind of like I was when I was very young. He just found his way into some trouble. He was good at that. He found a way to mess something up or do something wrong. But I'll say this, by the time he got a teenager, and after a whole lot of whoopings, more than I got growing up, you know, he started straightening on out. And he's married, got kids of his own now. You know, his life is a lot different than what people would have thought. But this idea that you're just born evil or you're just born good, I tell you, there's too many examples I can think of on both sides of it. There's kids I knew that, you know, when they were young, they seemed to be all right. They hit those late teenage years and early 20s and they went wild and never turned back. And so being good or bad at a young age doesn't determine what you're going to be later on. But either way, you come to the place that you have a depravity of heart, and not just of heart, but it says also life. A depravity of heart and life. You get to the place you don't even want to do right. You're fine with doing whatever. You're just a depraved individual. It's what it means. That's what a malignant person is. That you just have this malignity. And how can we find examples of that in Scripture and learn from that? Turn with me back to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And this is in the days of Noah now. In verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Well, that's a wicked person, isn't it? That's a malignant person. They're depraved in their heart and their life. So much that, look, their heart was on evil continually. It wasn't just like I occasionally think of something bad. You and I sometimes probably have these times when we get a bad thought or something comes across our mind that we know is ungodly and we feel just plumb evil about it. That's not the case with these people. They were to the point that their heart was on evil continually. That's where their heart and that's where their mind was. Everything that they thought of was some kind of lust, some kind of a desire that they had that they wanted to fulfill. Let me see how I can accomplish this. My mind, and I know that this is later on in the history that we have, but you go to Sodom and Gomorrah and you ever look at that city and go, my goodness, the wickedness that they had upon their mind. Do you know they weren't as bad? Even though God destroyed them, but considering the world and the situation of the world, they weren't even in the same condition as the people back in Noah's day. And I'll say this, I believe we've gotten to a place where people's minds are on evil continually. They're looking for a fight somewhere. They're looking for something to be mad at. They're looking for something that they can curse, something that they can take advantage of, somebody they can harm, somebody that they can steal from, rob from. Their mind, that's what they're focused on a continual basis. And it seems like as generations goes on, it's getting worse and worse. It seems like sometimes it gets worse from day to day or year to year. It seems like people are looking for something to give them an excuse to do wrong. Sometimes they don't even need an excuse, do they? They're just going to do it. They're depraved. They're malignant. Also, within the definition of malignant, it talks about how subtle they are, how crafty they are. You know what you get with that? You're looking at evil. How can I manipulate this to accomplish a certain goal? How can I word this to get my desire or my will accomplished? Is there people in the world today that tries to twist things and turn things and even misword things and manipulate things to get their own goals accomplished? It's in a lot of areas. It's in a lot of places. And that's what it means. Moral corruption. Turn with me over to the book of Proverbs and we'll look at a few scriptures there. And there are some examples here that we're told as God's people to stay away from. And I know for sake of time, we're going to try to limit this the best we can. but at the same time getting the point across. First of all, in Proverbs chapter 1, in verse 16. Now this is back in verse 15, the father's teaching the son, refrain the foot from the path of the evil men. In verse 16 it says, for their feet run to evil. Notice their desire. It's not just to they accidentally do evil. It's not that they just made a mistake somewhere. Their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. If we don't deal with the fact that there are evil people in this world, and that's even comparing, I know we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, but there are also people that are desperately wicked. There are people that even pursue wickedness to such an extent that they're running to it. They're running to evil. They're making haste to shed blood. Give me the opportunity and I'll pull my knife or my gun. I don't even need a reason. Let me just look for somebody to hit or punch or harm. I just want to hurt somebody else. There are people in this world like that. Look, I don't know. We're living in a very depraved world, depraved society in a lot of places. And I know that doesn't cover everybody. I know there's good people. I know even amongst all different age groups, you got evil. You've got people that desire to do good and things of this nature. But I'll tell you what, you've got to be a pretty sick individual to traffic children. And I'll tell you what, that's one of the biggest things going on in our day and time. It doesn't get reported near enough on the news. It is every day children are going missing somewhere. Every single day. Now, I'm not talking about one child here, one child there, one child over in this state. Look, every state you can imagine, in some places, it's multiple people in the same area every day. And it's people taking children to abuse them, to put them into slavery and bondage. There's women being taken captive and all kinds of things going on. There is some rottenness, some evil. And look, to be that depraved, to be that much in depravity as a human being, to not only do that stuff, but to want to do it. To look at that as, this is a career choice, this is how I'm going to make money, and to really have no conscience about what you've done, you're getting to a horrible, wicked place. That's a malignant person. That's a person with a hardened heart. A person that we would say has no conscience. Look, there's people that'll walk up to some elderly person just walking down the road and punch them. That's happening daily in our society, in America. It's happening in other places in the world too. How have people gotten to the place that it's some kind of entertainment to steal other people's property or to harm somebody else? And that's why God said, you need to stay away from these people. Their feet don't just do evil, they run to it. They make haste to shed blood. You know, there's some people that shed blood when they have to. There's people that shed blood in self-defense and things of this nature. That is not near equal to somebody who desires to go out and do evil. Sometimes, you know, we'll kill somebody on death row and they said, oh, that's just the state committing murder. No, a murderer went out and willfully harm somebody. And I'll say this, give an example, and I know the death penalty is upheld in Scripture, but let me just put it to us in a very simple term. What happens if you have one bad apple in a batch of good apples? It'll rotten the whole basket, won't it? The whole group. It won't take long. It'll spoil everything you've got in a very short amount of time. And we haven't learned in our society, occasionally, you got to get rid of the bad apple. In fact, it seems like in many cases, in many towns and cities, they care more about the criminals than the law-abiding citizens. There's murderers that get off scot-free, while somebody that does something that doesn't seem to be that big of a crime will get 20 years. And I could go and name cases just in the past year that would give evidence of this. There's people that'll commit armed robbery one day and they're on the street the next to do it again. Some of them's been arrested 10, 20 times. And our law, you know, the Bible talks about having a law where there's no justice, there's no right, there's no wrong, there's no justice in the land, there's nobody standing up, and God's looking for somebody to stand in the gap. It seems like we live in a world today. Well, I'll say this. I believe some people, even within offices, evidently have a malignant heart. Because how can you let people do evil unto your citizens and not lock them up for it? Heinous crimes. And yet a lot of times justice isn't done. And yet, you know, some of those people will brag about that. Well, we didn't put this person away. We let this person go. And that's not good. Because even in places of office, you can rush to do evil. You can make haste even to shed blood. Do you know there's people that even celebrate things like abortions today? There's people that will not only have an abortion, they'll say, let's throw a party about it. They're not celebrating or hasting to shed innocent blood. They are, and it's a depravity of the mind. It's a depravity of the heart. And that's what malignity is. Over in chapter 2, and I know there's several verses going through this, but I'm going to just read verse 14. It says here, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked. Notice what their delight's in. It's not righteousness. It's not goodness. It's not love, compassion. No, their delight is in frowardness of the wicked. There's a depravity there that's hard to understand. Y'all remember over in John chapter 3, when Jesus was talking about why people would not receive Him, but they rejected Him, He said, for light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Now I know all that have sinned come under that classification. But there is people that has taken that and gone to extremes with it. And trust me, not trusting Christ is an extreme deal that will lead you to hell and everlasting torment. But there are people in this world that, I mean, they rejoice to do evil. They rejoice to do wicked. Look, there's a lot of things in this world, I'll be honest with you, I'm ignorant of. I don't pay a lot of attention to what's out there in the world as far as movies and entertainment and music and all this other stuff. But occasionally, you know, I get some information sent to me and you start reading a little bit. And you're going, my goodness, who would listen to this? Who would watch this? Look, there. I'll say this. I think that some of the wicked people in our world used to try to hide some of their wickedness. They're not trying to hide it anymore. I had some young boy show me a picture of a rap album one time. And I mean, it had 666 written on the album cover. Guy wearing devil horns, you know, on it. He said, look, this is what millions of young people are listening to now. And look, he was out, basically, the artist was out there bragging, and even in the songs and the things that he's putting out, he's trying to promote, look, I'm for wickedness, I'm for evil, I love doing these depraved things. And then you got little children listening to that kind of stuff. Look, people aren't even trying to hide that they're trying to do wickedness. It's not something that's hidden. It's not something that's trying to be covered up on. You know, used to, if people got accused of certain things, no, that's not who we are. That's not what we believe. Now they're just saying that is what we believe. Who cares? We do believe in this wicked lifestyle. We do believe in doing this evil. We do believe in vengeance and getting revenge on our enemies. And look, we believe in going out and attacking people in different ways. And they'll have no shame about it. They're not only doing evil, they rejoice to do evil. They rejoice to do it and to delight in the frowardness of the wicked. But let me tell you, the scariest part of this is there's a whole lot of people in church that'll defend some of that. Say, oh, preacher, they wouldn't. Listen a little while. See how many people will defend a homosexual movie that go to church. See how many people will say, well, you know, this is just them speaking. They've got their rights. They've got their freedom. I've got freedom to criticize it too. But they'll criticize more the people that criticize evil than they will the evil itself. And listen, I've got questions when people are upholding sin. I've got questions when people say that they're of God, but they're trying to justify somebody else's wrong and somebody else's bad choices. I believe in showing compassion. I believe in forgiveness. I believe in God's long-suffering and mercy. But I do not believe in trying to say, well, this is all right. I'll tell you what, that shows me there's wolves in sheep's clothing in a lot of places. And we need to be wary of it. Over in chapter 17. Proverbs 17, verse 11. It says here, an evil man seeketh only rebellion. Therefore, a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. What does an evil man seek? Rebellion. And that rebellion is not just some rebellious child against their mama and daddy, you know, somebody throwing a little spat or something. That's not what's being talked about here. The rebellion is against God. Against His Word, against His commandments, His judgments, His statutes. An evil man seeketh to rebel against that which is true and upright. Is there many today that are seeking to rebel against truth? Let me ask you this question. What is the feminist movement? What is the progressive movement? You start examining some of these so-called movements that are praised by the world today. They rebel against a whole lot of things that are godly and good. I can even say this with all certainty because it's been said by some of the people that are for it. You know why in all Western civilization countries there's an influx of so many young males that are of military age coming into the country? It's a rebellion. It's a rebellion. We're going to tear down your values. We're going to tear down your culture. We're going to tear down. And look, Western civilization culture, and I know it's come a long way from where it started as, but it was based off of beliefs in Christianity. That is under attack. And it is purposely under attack. The thing is, they're seeking to overturn some things. There's even people that run for politics. Sometimes they'll say, we want to overturn the Constitution. We want to overturn the Declaration of Independence. Look, they're not even silent about it. They'll say, we don't want you to have freedom. We don't want you to have property. We don't want you to have these things. I'm not being political with that. I'm trying to point out the evil that's behind it. The evil that is motivating a lot of those things is a malignant attitude. I'll even word it a little bit better than that. An antichrist attitude. There's a lot of people that don't want to see the spirit of the antichrist working. But the Bible is very plain that we should notice that spirit. It wars against all that is good and upright. And we see that in our world. We see that going on. Look, when you're against people protecting their own property, from people protecting their own families, when you're against the nuclear family of a husband, a wife, a children, when you're against the basic knowledge of education, of truth, male and female, right and wrong, good and evil, situational ethics is a war. It's a war against Christianity. It's a war against the truth. They are seeking rebellion. And look, if you go and read some of the books that these people write, I think it was Rules for Radicals that was written years ago, written in the 1960s. Y'all ever read the preface of that book? It praises Satan. That's in the preface of the book. It praises Satan. They tell you which side they're on. And there's a lot of Christians that don't want to hear it. They don't even want to believe there's malignant people in the world. And while I pray for them to repent and turn to the truth, while I will tell us as God's people, we even do good unto our enemies. And if they hunger, we give them something to eat. If they thirst, we give them something to drink. While I will preach that side of it and deal with that side of it, you must understand there are malignant people in this world. And if you don't have your eyes open to it, if you're not careful, you'll be walking with them. The father told his son back in chapter 1, what did he tell him? You don't go that way, son. You don't go with those people. They rush to do evil. They make haste to shed blood. You don't want anything to do with that group, son. I tell you what, we as God's people, we don't want to have fellowship with unrighteousness. We don't want that kind of fellowship. Over on in chapter 21, verse 10. It says, the soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. Can you imagine despising your own neighbor? The soul of the wicked is so set on evil that even his neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. And what that is saying is he would gladly harm his neighbor. There are some people who look at their neighbors as an obstacle. Sometimes they look at them as a pawn in their game, in their scheme. We need to understand there are those kind of people in the world who don't care what they do unto us, even if they live beside us. They don't care what they do to their own neighborhood. Have y'all ever been to a neighborhood that used to be good and now is torn down? How did it get that way? Somebody came into that neighborhood, and usually it's more than one, it multiplies over time. But somebody came into that neighborhood and they didn't care about their fellow man. They didn't care what happened to them. They didn't care if they died of drug overdose. They didn't care if they died of some poisoning. They didn't care if their house fell to pieces. They didn't care if they lost all their land and property. They didn't care if jobs left the community. They didn't care what happened. I'm going to go out here and do whatever I want, whatever I feel is good for me. And they just went out and did evil. The soul of the wicked desireth evil. His neighbor findeth no favor in his eyes. You know, there's even people that I might not know that live down the road from me, but I'm still concerned about how they deal with the neighborhood where we live. I want to live in such a way that their children don't have to be afraid of me and my family. They don't have to fear me stealing their stuff. It should be that they're able to lay copper pipe on their back porch and I won't touch it. Because I wouldn't want to do that to my neighbor. I wouldn't want to take advantage of them. They should be able to leave their vehicles unlocked. And no, I'm not entering it. Even if a woman left her purse in it, I'm not going to search it out. I'm not going to see if there's money I could take or steal. Even if the doors are unlocked. Some people try to justify and say, well, nobody got hurt. I tell you what, you steal somebody's money, and especially the price of groceries and everything else, you're harming them. You're hurting them. You're going to do that to your own neighbors. We know how God looks at a neighbor. In the example of the Good Samaritan. But there's people that even look at their neighbors and they look at them as prey. I'm waiting for an opportunity to take from them, to hurt them, to harm them. That's a malignant person. Over in chapter 24. Let's look at the first two verses. It says, be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart, notice where the problem's at, their heart studieth destruction. They're not trying to build things up. They're trying to tear things down. Their heart studieth destruction. And their lips talk of mischief. Their lips will tell you they want to take advantage of somebody else. Y'all ever heard conversations that you were shocked by the conversation? And I could go into that in detail in different things. I've heard men make conversations about women and you're like, my goodness, you're sick. But there are people that have those same conversations about children. There are people who have conversations about harming other people and hurting other people. We're going to tear down their business. We're going to tear their lives apart. We're going to hurt them. A lot of times it's not because there's any rhyme or reason, is there? It's just wickedness. It's just wickedness. We need to understand there is malignant people in this world. There is evil. And because of that, we have to beware. We have to pay attention. We have to do certain things in our lives to even protect ourselves. Y'all ever have a loved one go into a certain area of a city and you say, look, you need to be aware. You know what we're teaching sometimes in churches now? We're having security classes. How to recognize a threat at a church. I've been to some of those classes. Classes on situational awareness. how to be aware of your surroundings, how to protect yourself in certain situations, how to notice a threat even before it's a threat to you. These are things we're having to teach our children, our wives, young men. And you're having to do it because there is malignant people. People who are so hard-hearted. Look, we've heard things in our lifetime. I can remember back when I was a teenager, somebody got killed when we lived in Atlanta. And it wasn't just one, it was multiple people. But you'd hear people, well, he got killed because he was wearing a certain pair of tennis shoes that somebody wanted to steal. Child was killed because of the shoes he had on. And the person didn't think about taking a child's life over a pair of shoes. Even I think recently I read a story, I may have the location wrong, but I think it was over around the Las Vegas area that there were some teens in a car that just ran over a man in a bicycle. Just because he was there. Do this, it'll be fun. Kill a man just because it's fun. That's not normal. Even in the sinful world we live in, that's not normal. That's malignity. That's a depraved heart. That's a bad character. We need to know what that is. I want to finish over in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we'll pick up in verse 17. It says, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye..." And I wanted to bring it back to us because we can't control the rest of the world. We can't control what's out in the world. Just as Noah couldn't control what was in the world in his day and time. He could preach to them. He could witness to them. But it takes them seeing who they are and repenting and turning to Christ to be different. We can stand up for the truth. We can stand up for what's right. But we need to make sure we don't walk in evil. We don't let this stuff change who we are. "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness." Notice that the heart that this sinful world has, and I promise you, we will see that heart get darker and darker as time goes on. "Oh, Brother Brandon, you're being negative." No, I'm being realistic. I'm also telling you what the Bible says. They will be deceived. Deceivers will be deceived. They'll be deceived by others. And you will see an increase in ungodliness. This is told in Scripture. I'm just telling you the truth of what God's Word says. That doesn't mean we have to be evil. That doesn't mean our neighbors have to be evil. That doesn't mean we have to be scared of the world or anything like that. That's not what I'm teaching. But I am teaching that we need to be aware, if we're not careful, we'll let the wickedness of this world change us. And you don't need to allow that to happen. No matter how evil, no matter how wicked this world gets, you do not need to let it change who you are in Christ. I will remind you, there was a time in Christian history when there were people being torn asunder. There were even people who were filleted for the gospel of Christ. There were people burned at the stake. There were people thrown to wild animals, and people cheered as they were torn apart. That was some malignant people, wasn't it? Did the people of God allow that world to change who they were? Or were they encouraged to walk in newness of life in Christ? What we are facing and seeing today in our day and time, can I encourage you, don't let it change who you are in Christ. Don't let it affect your heart, your character, your compassion, your stance on the truth. Don't let this world change who we are. We will deal with malignity in this world, sometimes even within churches. But don't let how somebody else behaves determine how we behave. Let us find our identity, our love, our compassion, everything we have. Let us find that in Christ and be who Christ wants us to be. And maybe by the grace of God, through His light shining through us, some lost soul can be saved. Somebody that has been in the depths of sin can turn and repent and receive the forgiveness of sins and be a changed individual. But if we become dark like the world, all we're doing is putting out the only light that's in the world. We, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. Don't let us lose the savor. Don't let us lose what we have in Christ because of the evils of this world. I want to encourage you with that as we close. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, I invite you to come. I have a verse of a song.